O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Wherefore, because of the great salvation you give us, wherefore, he says in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, set your hope perfectly on the grace that will be manifest unto you at the revelation of Jesus. As children of obedience, fashion not yourselves according to your former lust in the times of your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, be yourselves holy in all manner of living. As it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy, in our verse for today. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of person judges each man according to his works, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. Be reverent. If we see the holy God, which we talked about the last time, as Brent mentioned. Thank you, Brent, for choosing songs that spoke of God's holiness and the need for holiness. If we ever get a glimpse of the holiness of God and really see holy beyond anything we can imagine, it would strike fear through our hearts. Our knees would be shaken together. It would bring us into the fear of Jehovah. Notice verse 17. Isn't a new subject. It says, it starts with the word and. 15 and 16, be holy. And if you call on him as Lord, as Father. If you call on him as Father, who without respect of person judges each man according to his work. Pass the time of your sojourning in fear. Be reverent. If you call on him as Father, what a privilege, what a great privilege to call on God, the God of this universe, as our Father. Notice the word if. It says, if you call on him as Father. The word if there is in the indicative, which is real. He's not asking a question whether you do or not. You can translate that, since we call on him as Father, the most loving and kind and warm fellowship we have is with our fathers. And if we call on God as Father, we have all things new. He says in Romans 8, that's for Romans 8. I didn't write the Romans 8. Romans 8, 12 and following. He says, so then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to walk out, to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, that's the power, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. We have a new Father. For we receive not again the spirit of bondage. We have freedom. We receive not again the spirit of bondage unto fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are sons of God. And if sons, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be you suffer with Christ, that we may be glorified with Christ. And the suffering of present times are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to usward. Everything's new if you're in Christ. Everything is right if we're in Christ. God is our Father. How great and wonderful that can be. Why would God call a bunch of sinners his children? Because God is who God is, not because of who we are. God loves us. Jeremiah 31:3, he says, and Jehovah appeared unto me from old and said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. In Hebrews 2, verse 11, it says, for both he that sanctifieth and those that are sanctified are all of one. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That should raise goosebumps on you. Jesus, God himself, died for us, and he's not ashamed to call us his brother. That's amazing. That's amazing. He loves us with an everlasting love. Need to go back. I forgot that this thing dumped the whole thing out there instead of one at a time. He judges without respect of persons. God has no respect of persons. God is so holy. We talked about the last time I spoke. God is so holy, he is so far removed from sinful mankind that to him any sin is an insult to his holiness. Whether it's a child that lies to his mother or the murderer. In God's sight, he is so holy and so far from us, God sees that as a breach against his will. It's a sin against God's holiness. And therefore, he without respect of persons judges. We are all filthy in the sight of God. In our sins. Isaiah 64:6 says, we have all become as one that is unclean. And all our righteousness, listen to him, all our righteousness is polluted garments. We do all fade like a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, takes us away. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. By our actions, we're all worthy of the wrath of God. Peter goes into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. You talk about racism. We're having riots over racism. The Jew and the Gentile, there was some racism there. Peter goes into the house of Cornelius in Acts 10. And he says, you know, it's unlawful for a Jew to go into the house of a Gentile. But then God told him to go there. And he says in verse 34, Acts 10, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable unto God. The cross of Christ did away with all social differences. It did away with all racism. It did away with all power differences. It did away with all intelligence or wealthy differences. It makes us all one, the cross of Christ. And Peter acknowledges that in the house of Cornelius. That statement, because of the cross of Christ, ends all differences of mankind. We're all dependent on God and the work that Jesus did for us. No respecter of persons. He judges according to each man's works. In Acts 17, Paul goes to Athens before this Gentile people. And he tells them in verse 30 of Acts 17, the days of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commandeth that men all everywhere repent, in as much as he has appointed a day which he will judge all men in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given proof in that he raised him from the dead. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. We'll all be judged by the holy Jesus that died for us. John 5:22 and 27, both of them, Jesus says, all judgment has been given unto me. And the standard of his judgment, Jesus tells us in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receives not my saying hath one that judge him. The words that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. 4, I spake not of myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment what I should speak and what I should say, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. The standard of judgment is God's word brought by Jesus. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the apostles and prophets wrote it so that we can know God's will. Modern man has watered down everything God said. And I'm sorry to say that even in the church today, people have watered down what God said. In God's word, there is the distinctive nature of Christians that James spoke about. We're not like the world. To the extent we're not like the world is the extent that we're useful to God. Be different. God comes in judgment in chapter 2 or chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 10. We all must be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that we each one will receive the things done in our bodies according to what we have done, whether good or evil. We're all going to be judged according to our works. We know the passage, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are His, that's God's. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. We will be judged by our works. James 2:14-26. Tells us 3 times that faith without works is barren. Faith without works is vain. Faith without works is dead, James tells us. Because of that, he says, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. Pass the time of your sojourning in fear. The word pass is better translated in the ESV, the New American Standard, or the New King James by to conduct oneself. The word in the original language speaks of our conduct. Pass. Make your conduct in the time of your sojourning in fear. We are sojourners here. This is not our home. Jesus says through Paul, our citizenship is in heaven, which we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will fashion the body of our humility to be conformed into the body of His glory according to His working, whereby He is able to subject all things unto Himself. We need to continually be conscious of the fact that this world is not our home. We need to understand that our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here on this earth. Therefore, he says, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. What is fear? If you've noticed, I've given you 2 Hebrew words that is translated fear. As Harrison read, he read in Psalms 111, verse 9, where it says, holy and reverent is His name. Every passage in the Old Testament or the New Testament that speaks about reverence is from the word fear. And the word means, as you can see there, Yesenius is the standard of all Old Testament lexicons. Is to be afraid, is to stand in awe. The other word, which is on the second line, is the same word it's a feminine noun. The first one is used 55 times, the next one 41 times, and that's the one that's used in the very next verse. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear. The word we use right here in pass your time or your sojourning in fear is phobos. The lexicon of Strong says that's alarm or fright, to be afraid, exceedingly fearful, terror. Thayer's dictionary says it means to dread terror, that which strikes terror. We should quit watering down God's word. We in our modern society and in our sophistication have come to the fact we don't fear anything. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. We use terms. Ephesians 5, verse 21 says, subject yourselves to one another in fear of Christ. Then he goes on and talks about the relationship between the husband and the wife. And he ends it in verse 33, saying, see that the woman fear her husband. Now all the new translations don't translate that fear, they translate it respect. Why did they do that? It's the same word as fear Christ in verse 21. Wives are to fear their husbands. Now, if you translate that reverence, which many passages does, or respect, as the New American Standard, ESV, translates it, well, so be it. But understand clearly that that respect comes out of fear, because the word is fear, just like 1 Peter 3, 6, where Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him Lord. Same word we use for our Lord Jesus Christ. God is a fearful God. Take a long look at God. And if you ever get a glimpse of God in all of His holiness, His glory, His immensity, His transcendency, His omnipresence, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His sovereignty, it'd scare the fire out of you. You can't stand before God. Listen, people that saw an angel fell at their feet as one dead, and those angels feared God and cried, holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, Isaiah 6:3. Our God is a fearful God. Judgment day is coming. And people and all of us that are secure and feeling safe right now, I'll tell you, when that scroll rolls back, the skies roll back as a scroll, and Jesus appears in all of His glory, it'll strike fear. We will learn that day to fear Jehovah, whether we ever did before or not. Hebrews 4:12, we all know. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of men. For all are made manifest before the sight of God. All things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God knows everything about us. Things we try to hide, God knows. Fear, when our Lord Jesus comes, He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an angel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I'll guarantee you that day, our hearts will quake when you see the Lord. We're going to be worse than Belshazzar. In Daniel 5, verse 6, it says, the king's countenance was changed. His mind troubled him. The joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against the other. And he just saw some handwriting on the wall. He didn't see God. If we ever get a sight of God, it'll strike fear through us. Reverence will not come until we know God. And if you know God, you will fear God. And as we've written down there, all the fear, Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. I don't have time to read all those. I put them down, a few of the verses I thought of. Fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. It's instruction of wisdom. It is salvation to those that fear Him. It's the beginning of wisdom in the verse that Harrison read. Psalms 128:1. Blessed is everyone that feareth Jehovah. Even Job got in on the act. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Depart from evil is understanding. Israel had a problem at Sinai because they didn't fear Jehovah. They come to Sinai. Exodus 32. Moses has been on the mountain for 40 days. They don't know where Moses has gone to. And in verse 32 it says, this man Moses, we don't know what happened to him. He might have died. He says, make us gods. Make us gods. Gods whom we can manipulate. Gods whom we can control. Gods whom we can see with our eyes. Gods who are created according to our own desires. Gods whose worship makes us feel good. They felt good. They built this golden calf. They sat down and ate and drank and raised up to play. But what's that to us today? We don't bow to golden calves, do we? What did James say? Right up there at the top of our idols is money. Man has made God today in the image of man rather than the image of a golden calf. In all of our sophistication, all of our knowledge, we think we don't need God anymore. We created God in the image of our own minds and our man, in the image of man. We have built heaven right here on earth. We have arrived. We don't need God. Look around you, the world. They don't need God. They don't want God. Education has become a god. Science, medicine, advancements have become a god. We pay our taxes to support professors that teach socialism and teach the fact there's not a God. They're destroying our nation. Because they're raising up gods that's not the God of heaven. Our latest savior is the fact that we know we understand ourselves now. And we know that we need loving kindness and we have respect for ourselves. We explain everything away. We want respect and love. We want that which makes us feel good, just like Israel. We have understanding. Israel left Egypt in slavery in Egypt, was freed in God, and what did they do? They wanted to go right back to Egypt. The world today, the Western world today, has gone back to Egypt. God has freed America as a whole, believed in God, whether in truth or not. They believed in God. They believed in God and the holy standard of God. And what have they done now? They've gone back to Egypt. There's no fear of God in our sight. Used to be the question was, what is truth? What does God desire? But the question today is, does it make me feel good? And it's not only in the world. It's even crept into the church. We're more concerned about what makes us feel good oftentimes than what God desires. We have our idols, just like a golden calf. People have arrived, the rich, the powerful, the influential people. What are they doing? All the people we think are the idols of the people. They've arrived. What are they doing? They're dying on drug overdoses is what they're doing. They're taking medicine that's mind-manipulating medicine for their depression, for their anxieties, their worries, their fears. All these people who don't need God anymore, they've made their own gods. But why aren't they satisfied with where they are? They're looking for meaning. This utopia that we've built must not be too good. Because the people that we think have everything are the people who's killing themselves. They're committing suicide. They're going drugs. They're going to all this. The Western world left the Eastern religions, Buddhism, atheism, Mohammedism. And now where are we gone? Right back. The modern world today has turned to the Eastern religions. Astrology. Every newspaper we read has a section on astrology, which God said in the Old Testament, everybody that looks to the moon and the stars, put them to death. Our God is a radical God, and we better fear that God, or we'll receive His wrath. They go to karma, Buddhism. They look to transmigration of the souls. They have seances. This is the people that has arrived in our modern society. Why do they seek all these things? Because when you deny God, there's a hole in your heart. Because people are created, mankind is created incurably religious. And when you deny the God, then you seek all the golden calves that's around you, just like Israel did. The truth is, we will never be free from the need of God. Hezekiah, at the threat of Sennacherib, takes the letter and he goes before God and lays it out in the temple. We're in Isaiah 37. Verse 16, he says, O Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, that sitteth above the cherubim, thou art the God and thou alone of all the kingdoms of the world. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Our God is the God. What did Israel do? Psalms 106 says there, they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped a molten image. And they changed their glory into the likeness of an ox that eats grass. That's what all idolatry does. This is what mankind has done to himself. We've taken the glory that God gives us and makes it into a shining fake that deceives mankind. Jim McGuigan said, actually he was quoting Billy Sunday. He said, sin is forgivable, stupid is forever. Very true statement. All idolatry. Everything we do because we have lost the fear of God is stupidity. Just exactly what he says. Romans 1, verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave him thanks. But they came vain in their reasoning, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of corruptible man and birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their flesh, that their body should be dishonored, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator." That's down through verse 25. Any form of idolatry, whether it's your money, whatever it is a denial of the fear of God. Our God is not a heavenly sweetheart. Our God loves us so much, He put His own Son on the cross and He died a miserable, agonizing death because of our iniquity. He loves us that much. But our God is not a heavenly sweetheart. He is God. And He is holy. And He is just. And He will not leave unpunished those that deny the fear of God. God is dead earnest. Moses comes down off that mountain. Still in Exodus 32, verse 19 and 20. He takes the tablets of stone, which has the Ten Commandments, and he breaks them. Why did he break the Ten Commandments God had given him? Because those people made a covenant with God to obey Him. And they violated the first three covenants of the first three commandments. Thou shalt have no other God. Thou shalt make no images. Thou shalt not bow down to any image. And they have broken all three of them. They have broken all covenant relationship with God. And Moses takes that golden idol and he burns it and he beats it into powder and he casts it into the water and makes the people drink the water from that powder of that idol. Now where is their God? It's in their belly. Fear Jehovah. He goes on in verses 25 and following. He calls out the people that are on my side. And the Levites come to him and he said, "Strap on your swords, every man. Go amongst all the children of Israel and kill your brothers, whoever they are, that's bowed down to that calf." They killed 3,000 people that day in the wrath of God against people that's lost their fear of Jehovah. Our God is radical God. We will fear that God. We will obey His commands, or we'll be just like those that God destroyed. God's desire was to bless the whole world, all the nations, was to bless them because they could see that Jehovah lived in these people. As James was talking about this morning, we proclaim by eating the Lord's Supper the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is to proclaim something. God chose Israel to proclaim to the whole world that God lived in them to be, and they are a holy people. When they turn back to idolatry, God can't use them. He does the same thing with the church today. He chose us out of the world to be a holy nation. You're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that we might show forth the excellences of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. God loved them enough that He gave His Son for them and for us. He wants to bless the whole world with salvation. But the only way a holy, righteous God can do that is for the people that fear God to obey His will. He can't let them go. God has never changed. People talk about the God of the Old Testament was a radical, harsh God. God doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, I, Jehovah, change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. There's no change in God. It's our Lord Jesus Himself that said on the Sermon on the Mount, if your eye causes you to stumble, what do you do with it? Pluck it out and cast it away. For it's profitable that one of your members perish and not your whole body be cast into fires of hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and cast it from you. For it's profitable that one of your members should perish and not your whole body be cast into hell. Christianity is a radical Christianity. God calls us to holiness. And when we see all of God's holiness, we'll walk in the fear of Jehovah. So what is fear? A few weeks ago, I don't remember how many ago in the men's meeting, Robert asked, what is fear? And Isaac said, fear is losing control. Very right. Fear is the loss of our control. When we lose control and we're under somebody else's control, we're at the mercy of something or somebody else, that puts fear in us. But the fear of Jehovah lets us know that we are under His control. We are not in control. Americans are taught from the time they're born, we're men. Take control. Control everything. Listen, we need to be training our children. Don't take control. Be under control. Be under the control of God. And when we realize that God, who controls everything, then we joyfully accept that because we know that our God is a perfect God. He does everything perfect. He does everything for the good. He does everything for the salvation of your souls. He does everything for the spreading of His gospel, the salvation of multiple souls. And God wants to use us in that purpose. So we have to be holy and walk in the fear of God. He is in control. And if you fear Jehovah, then you fear nothing else. The peace that's in Christ Jesus is because we fear Jehovah, and when we fear the God of all gods, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, then we fear no lesser king. Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the world who ruled the world at that time, built a 90-foot idol. Says when the trumpet blows, bow down to that idol. Everybody, the trumpet blows, everybody goes down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing straight up. Jewish slaves, young men, whom Nebuchadnezzar had given glory and given them good status. They stand there. Nebuchadnezzar is wrath. He's burning with fire, with wrath. And he says, he even gave another chance. Now if you hear the trumpet, bow down. And it'll be okay. And what did they say? We're in Daniel 3, verse 16 or so. They stand before the most mighty man in the world and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Our God is able. Our God is able because we fear God. Our God is able, and He is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand. And if it not be, let it be known to you, we will not bow down to your God. Oh, don't you love it? When these men, many of the prophets and the people of the Old Testament were destroyed, clear up until today, people are destroyed. They give up their lives because they fear Jehovah. Therefore, they don't fear mankind. They don't fear anything. Fear Jehovah. And we fear nothing else. To not fear Jehovah is the ultimate folly. Who do you fear? Do you fear God enough to be obedient to His gospel? All we talked about, all of God's judgment, is taken away for those that are in Christ. Jesus, when we talk about all the wrath of God, Jesus took all that wrath on the cross. He appeased all of God's holy, just wrath against sin of mankind for those who will accept Jesus by faith, deny the world, be baptized into Christ, and they're raised standing before God as holy as Jesus is. If you fear God, come to Jesus, and you'll not fear anything else. Maybe many of us who left Egypt have built our golden calves and need to get back to the fear of Jehovah. Whatever your need, whether you need to come to Christ, let the fear of Jehovah move us into Christ, where there is salvation, the promise of eternal life, where we stand before God as holy as Jesus is. Whatever your need, come forward while we stand and sing.